in part 10 of the 2023 Miami Hurricanes opponent preview series. I previewed the Florida State Seminoles, our opponent up in Tallahassee on November 11th. Now, under Bobby Bowden's leadership, Florida State achieved 10 or more victories in each of the seasons from 1987 to 2000. Under Jimbo Fisher, it saw the Seminoles win 10 or more games in six of his seven seasons there, exception of 9-4-11. And then 2 years later, they won the national championship with Jameis leading the way there. Now, prior to 2022, FSU only had a four-year streak of sub-500 seasons, its longest since 1975. Now, with the addition of the transfer portal, FSU has now the talent and the momentum to take its success to the next level. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Before you start booking any playoff trip to Houston for the national championship game, that's where it'll be this year, you got to take a few moments to savor the Seminoles' success right up to now. The 24-23 win against LSU in New Orleans to start last season was one of the biggest wins of their season. But Brian Kelly's team almost didn't pull it off after it looked like it could have used the tune-up game the week before. Now, both teams will play again on Sunday night to open the season, but this time it'll be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. It's hard to argue with beating Miami, Florida, and Oklahoma. All three of those teams finished with losing records last year. The schedule is even tougher for a team that has college football playoff aspirations, and the national preseason expectations are skyrocketing, and whatever happens, as long as FSU is good, well, FSU good, none of this matters. Now, it's been a while since FSU has been in the national conversation. It's been for very, very big things. But now we know this is a Mike Norvell offense. When he was at Memphis, his rushing offense created wide open lanes for his backs to burst through and gain yards in large chunks. At Memphis, it was effective. It was effective at Memphis and at FSU in the 2021 season, but it was much more consistent last year. In 20 and 21, I'm sustained on that. With over 200 yards rushing in each of the final seven regular season games. The offense finished the season as the number one ranked rushing offense in the conference and 13th nationally. They averaged 214 yards a game. Treshawn Ward is now in Manhattan, Kansas with Kansas State, while Trey Benson leads a talented running back group in a rotation. It would be a surprise if the Noles did not exceed 5 yards a carry, working behind an intriguing front five. Now, that offensive line was Jimbo's downfall late in his tenure and early on in Willie's regime there. But under Norvell, it is a fine-tuned machine now. It's completely repaired. Listen, Jordan Travis runs that offense. He's the leader in that room. His sixth year in Tallahassee, he's got it all. He's got the poise to limit mistakes. He's deadly accurate on third downs. He can hit the deep ball, and he runs when he has to. He rushed for more than 600 yards and accounted for 7 touchdowns on the ground last year. Now, one area of concern for opposing defenses is a 6'7", 240-pound wide receiver in Johnny Wilson, who averaged just over 21 yards of reception last year. And they get Jaheim Bell from South Carolina, 6'3", 233. He's worked at times as a power running back for South Carolina, carrying 73 times last year with 3 touchdowns, and has caught 55 passes over the past 2 seasons for 628 yards and 7 touchdowns. Now, last year, he was more of an intermediate pass catcher, but he could stretch the field. But they added Keon Coleman from Michigan State from the portal. He caught 58 passes for 1,076 yards and 7 touchdowns last year in East Lansing. And there are plenty of talented young players ready to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, as for FSU's defense, look, they may not be as strong as the offense is, but it'll still be pretty good, especially when you get Jared Verse back, who came over from Albany in the portal last year. He had a great season, 17 tackles for loss, 9 sacks, and he'll be a great addition to that D-line at one tackle. The Seminoles also bring in Fabian Lavette, an NFL prospect, as well as Brandon Fisk, who comes over from Western Michigan, and who'll be camped behind that line. Transitioning defensive tackles can make all the difference. At 6'5 and 306, the Western Michigan transfer isn't the biggest player on the team, okay? But over the past 4 years, he has totaled 148 tackles, 13 and a half sacks, and 27 tackles for loss, and is coming off his best year. If he can relieve Fabian Lovett's interior pressure, watch out. While the linebackers aren't as strong as the defensive line, they won't be as good as the defensive backs like Tatum Bethune and Kalen DeLoach, but they'll make a lot of plays. The key to their season is to be wary of those precision passers. Now here's the rub with Norvell and his teams at Memphis. Yes, the offense went crazy, and the defense improved. It was 106th last year, 117th last year, 89th last year, 61st. And so it improved from 106 to 117, down to 117, 89th to 61st. So the defense has gotten better each year. Really the last 3 years under Norvell. So when Norvell came in, the defense may not be great. It was 107th his first year, 65th last year, 65th the year before, and then 15th last year. But it worked. And shock of shocks, FSU was great again. But the problem was against the quarterbacks who could get the ball to those receivers. Clemson, Wake Forest beat FSU, LSU nearly did, when they got 65% of their throws completed. They went 0-4 in 2021 when teams got to 65% completion rates. And they went 1-12 against offense that did get there. Jaden Daniels almost won the game for LSU in New Orleans when he connected at 71%. But as mentioned earlier, despite the presence of the running backs at FSU, this team will still miss Swartz Speed, who had 2 outstanding years in that rotation, averaging 6.5 yards per carry and over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. Now, when you look at the first half of last season, FSU achieved a total of 262 points to just 125 for their opponents. Additionally, the Noles achieved 40 sacks for a total of 249 total yards, and their running game had an average of 5.5 yards a carry compared to the opponent's 4.4 yards a carry. Now, the key game for FSU is September 23rd against Clemson. It's been 7 years since they beat Clemson, and it's been that way ever since Jameis Winston's title team in 2013. When they came into Death Valley on a Saturday night and blew them out 51-14. Now look, we don't have divisions anymore, so it's totally possible, it's probably even likely, that Clemson could still lose that game and still make it to the ACC Championship game. If FSU wins though, they could be back in the conference title game after the last time they lost to Clemson in 2014. They have LSU in Orlando, like I said, September 3rd on a Sunday night. If they come out of September undefeated, their schedule is very favorable with really 3 tough games the rest of the way. All in November. At Pitt November 4th, Miami November 11th in their ACC finale, and 2 weeks later at Florida November 25th. This could be a college football playoff team and one to really be reckoned with. Their home schedule is uneventful outside Miami November 11th, with the opener against LSU in Orlando, followed by a trip to Clemson September 23rd, Pitt November 4th, and Florida to close the season in Gainesville November 25th. They'll be able to handle the home dates, but they have to avoid a loss in more than one of the 5 key non-conference games outside of Doak. In addition, the Panthers have played FSU twice as conference members. FSU defeated Pitt in 2013 up in Heinz Field. And Pitt has won 4 to 5 games against FSU, including 2020, although three of those games were played in the 1980s. Go figure that out. Now, from a Canes perspective, look, we know they're not going to blow us out 45-3 again. We know it's a rivalry game. You know that off the bat. Outside of 20, and of course last year, we know. It'll be much closer this time. We get them late in the year. Pains me to say it, but I think it'll be similar to 99, where it was close for a half, and then FSU's depth was too much in the second half, and they shut us out, winning by 10, 31, 21. I think we're a year away from beating the Noles again. Pains me to say that. But my final prediction for FSU in 2023 will be 10-2. In part 11 of the series, I will preview the Louisville Cardinals.